Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. You're listening to Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Gershon Kingsley is best known for this song, a 1972 instrumental dance hit called Popcorn. But that barely scratches the surface of this highly versatile career. Gershon Kingsley was a German emigre who escaped Nazi persecution and became a music director at synagogues and later in Broadway pit orchestras. He went on to write some of the most pioneering electronic music of the 1960s and early 70s, often using the Moog synthesizer. Today, his music has influenced everyone from Beck to the Beastie Boys, and a new 2-CD set is out today called God is a Moog, the Electronic Prayers of Gershon Kingsley. Gershon Kingsley, welcome to Soundcheck.
Welcome.
So, Popcorn was arguably electronic music's first smash, you know, dance floor hit. It's been covered hundreds of times by artists from Herb Albert to Kraftwerk. What was the inspiration? Where did this song come from?
You know what I always say, some inspiration may only last for about 20 seconds. And then you try to do it again, it never works. Anyway, I wrote this in 19... actually, the original version actually was a Russian tune. Oh. And I went here, I made it, I didn't know. But when I recorded then in Los Angeles, and was in the early 70s, you know, where certain things were quite LSD and all of
yes.
And one of the musicians, guitarist, I said, anybody has a name for the tune? He says, Popcorn. I said, oh, that's very interesting. You have a, no, but it's not what you're thinking. It's pop is for pop music, and corn is for S-H-I-T.
So it's corny.
It's corny.
I see.
Anyway, but it's you know, it took off strangely about 2 months later. Not in the United States. It took off in Spain.
And it was a number one hit in Germany, too, I think.
Oh, four different versions on the top 40s.
Wow.
Yes. And it never got killed. Actually, it's still alive. Today, there is a group called in England called the Crazy Frog. Have you heard about this?
The Crazy Frog. No, I have not come across the Crazy Frog.
It's on the chart in Europe. The song is again.
So it is, as you say, a song that has proven impossible to kill.
Yes.
Now, this new CD, God is a Moog, The Electronic Prayers of Gershon Kingsley, focuses on this period of 1968 to 1974. Aside from, as you've already mentioned, the LSD, what was going on in this period of time? I mean, with you, with Robert Moog, the Beatles, you know, Lou Reed and Velvet Underground. What was in the air? What was in the water? Why this ferment happening in this period?
You know, Robert Moog passed away. In fact, the same day when there was an article about me in the New York Times on the 21st of August. And Robert Moog and I, of course, going back for many, many years, Robert Moog was asked in one of the last interviews, tell me, what do you think about the music today? He said, nothing to compare like the 70s and 60s. There were really revolutionary ideas. Today, it's everything, as you probably know, where most of the music, what is so original today. The originality came in the 60s and the 70s. And when I started to write, I was the first one who played, of course, four synthesizers live in Carnegie Hall with a strange Russian producer, Sol Yurok, maybe from this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course...
A very famous producer,
yes.
Sol Yurok.
And he came to my studio, by the way, very strangely, and wanted to see, because Robert Moog gave a demonstration at the Museum of Modern Art just about a month before I get my concert. And Sol Yurok was there. See, and then he came to me, he wanted to know more about the Moog, so I played him all this, these crazy sounds that he used to make at the time. He said, can you play a melody? I said, yes, I knew he's Jewish, Russian. So I played him, I had this little tune on the Moog synthesizer kind of like a theremin. So I played him, my Yiddisha mama. He said, he went to the telephone, give me a date in Carnegie Hall. I got the date, you know.
So but, on the basis of you playing my Yiddisha mama on the Moog synthesizer, you got a Carnegie Hall concert.
Yes. And later on, my whole interest with Jewish music was not because I was, it became by default. You know, I came originally, you know, from Palestine, from Germany to Palestine. And so I became a Jewish composer by default, you know, playing Israeli music. And when I came to America, it was easy for me to get a job as a Jewish organist. You know, the Jewish mm-hmm. organist is somebody who only looks at his hands, never looks at his feet. And so I started to write music. And later on, I started to work with some singers. There's one singer, wonderful, on this new recording is a wonderful tenor. It used to be a famous cantor in the 70s, Harold Orbach. And he had an idea. Let's do some Yiddish songs with the Moog synthesizers.
Mm, okay.
So I did the Jewish songs, but it was never released. And then in about a year ago came these four young gentlemen to my studio and flipped over these songs, which I haven't heard in 30 years.
So this CD, we're speaking with Gershon Kingsley. His new 2-CD set just out today is called God is a Moog, The Electronic Prayers of Gershon Kingsley. So this is, I mean, you may have become a Jewish composer by default, but then you went with it. And what we're actually going to hear is called Shabbat for Today, which is a setting of the Friday night Shabbat
yes.
for the Moog synthesizer.
Yes.
Let's hear a little bit of the music of Gershon Kingsley.
Who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not taken God's name in vain, and hath not sworn deceitfully.
All right, that's just an example of Shabbat for Today, one of the electronic prayers of my guest Gershon Kingsley. It's the Friday night Shabbat service arranged as a kind of synthesizer-based rock opera.
Well, the thing is that I was very active with the Moog at the time. I did a lot of commercials, and around the 70s, even churches and synagogues wanted to get with the crowd, you see.
Uh-huh.
For instance,
they wanted to get a crowd in first.
The church started with the mass in English, you
right.
know, the Catholics.
And then the folk mass
that's
with
right,
the guitars.
And then the guitars.
Yeah.
So this rabbi asked me, could you write something in this kind of a contemporary style? And he said, yes, but I completely forgot about it. So a week before, he called me, where's the music? I said, what music? Are you crazy? We're doing advertise. So I sat down for 3 days, and in my humble opinion, I said, no, if Handel could write the Messiah in 3 weeks, can Kingsley not write service in 3 days? I wrote it in 3 days.
Wow.
But the problem was not this. I couldn't get the choirs until I got it. You know, it was 1968. So I got a choir, a black choir, to a synagogue, you know.
How ecumenical of you.
Yes, and the rabbi said they're going to kill us at the time. But then it was unbelievable how it became a success, you know.
And, I mean, the production, I mean, that sounds like any number of 60s, late 60s LSD-influenced rock bands.
Yes, yes.
You know, you got the chorus off to the left, you got
yes.
the soloist off to the right.
Yes.
How many different, I mean, that's a pretty big production there. How many different tracks were you doing?
It was in my little studio, done on 4 tracks.
No.
On 4 tracks, Scully Machine, that's all.
Wow, so
yes.
So most of that had to be done kind of live right there in the
yes,
studio.
Yes, the studio was not bigger than here.
Wow, okay. Gershon Kingsley is my guest, one of the pioneers in the field of live electronic music. I mean, you mentioned playing those Moog synthesizers on stage at Carnegie Hall.
Yes.
Back in those days, taking a synthesizer out of the studio was a dangerous thing. They were bulky, tricky instruments.
Oh, you see, you remember Wendy Carlos?
Sure.
At the time, he was called Walter Carlos.
Right.
And we were on a talk show together. I forget the name what it was. Very important talk show. And he said, Kingsley cannot perform it live. I said, come and visit us in Carnegie Hall. It was not a smash success. It was so different. We had, for instance, a rear projection screen in 1970, a rear projection screen. We brought in our own crew. In fact, later on, the union sent me a bill for $2,000 extra. It was very unusual, yes.
So what the kids would call a head trip then, yes, with the projection, yes, and the, yes, electronics, yes, and stuff. Yes, yes. Another example of the reach of your music, the Baroque Hoedown, which Walt Disney himself requested for the nightly Main Street Electrical Parade in Disneyland. Is this still being used in Disneyland?
Yes.
Holy
I
cow.
Hope so. I'm waiting for next month for the first royalties of this year.
Wow. So this thing has probably been heard by millions of people.
Can I tell you a little story about,
yeah,
this? And in 1964, I visited Disneyland. And I saw the parade, you know, with all these... Suddenly, I'd say to my daughter, who was then about 10 years old, I said, Alice, I hear this music. It sounds familiar. It's my music. So I went to the, you know, they have a little, what's called the mayor of Disneyland. Smile. I said, can I help you? I said, yes. My name is Gershon Kingsley. He didn't know who it was. Mm-hmm. But this is my music. He said, oh, I'm sorry. Will you come back next morning? And he gave immediately a little watch, a Mickey Mouse watch to my daughter. Next morning, it told me that Vanguard, the company, gave them the right lease. I didn't even know about this.
Ah, so they went to the record company, and the record company never bothered to tell you.
No.
Okay.
That was very useful.
Well, here's a little bit of that music, which continues to be heard at Disneyland each night. It's music from my guest, Gershon Kingsley. A little bit of the Baroque Hoedown by Gershon Kingsley. As with Popcorn, your other great hit, this has also been redone a number of times. They Might Be Giants. Brooklyn-based band has done a version of this piece. Mm-hmm. I mentioned at the beginning of the segment that you were born to a German-Jewish family, escaped Nazi Germany.
Yes,
yes. Let me first of all ask, Gershon Kingsley does not sound like either a German or a Jewish name. Is that anglicized? Or
My original name was Gustav Ksinski. So people said, it's good you changed your name.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, when I came to America, my name was Gary Kingsley first.
Gary.
My first job was playing in the Chi Chi Blue Room in Palm Springs.
Uh-huh.
And they called me then Gary Kingsley, the master of Bach and Boogie.
But Gary Kingsley didn't get you too much synagogue work, I'm thinking.
Some people still call me Gary from this time.
Okay, all right. What do you remember about growing up in Germany? When did you leave and how?
I left in July 1938, just before the Kristallnacht, which was in October, November. And I was, you know, as an 11-year-old, in fact, when Hitler came to power and he sat on the chancellery, he stood up there and I had to go and the people said, there was a big torch parade and said to all the kids, lift your hands. So I had to use a Hitler grade. I didn't know what I was doing.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
But and then I went with the Zionist youth group to a preparation camp near Hamburg. And out of 150 kids, they chose 50, and I was one of the 50s. And they put us on a train, locked the train, and I arrived in Palestine in August of 1938, went to a kibbutz, stayed there 2 years, and I went to Jerusalem to study music. And in 1946, I came to America, joined my parents, who didn't come to Palestine, but I went to the United States via Cuba.
Wow. So at 11 years old, you were separated from your parents,
yes,
and you were in different hemispheres.
Not 11 years old. No, that I heard Hitler.
Okay.
I was 15.
Well, still. Yes. All right. Yes. So 15 years old, you're in Palestine, there in Cuba.
But I tell you, they were wonderful times. It was incredible times, hard to imagine in today's terms, when Palestine was still sort of a dream of the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Zionism was still a positive thing to development. Today,
right,
of course...
You know, it means something very different.
They even deny the Holocaust now.
Yeah. We're speaking with Gershon Kingsley. Today is the release date of a 2-CD set called God is a Moog, the Electronic Prayers of Gershon Kingsley, featuring some of his early works for the Moog synthesizer from the period between 1968 and 1974. And, I mean, did you realize before this reboot stereophonic crew came, did you realize how much Jewish music you had actually produced over those years?
Yes, I knew, but I've never, you know, I don't know whether I should say it. The Times wrote about me, they're calling me a heretic. Because, you know, I agree with many composers. Verdi wrote his Requiem, and he was an agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Even Mozart was an agnostic. You know, he believed in certain, you know, like, for instance, the magic flute is about the...
Freemasons. Yeah.
But most of the composers were actually spiritually, but they were not believing in a God.
Right, so spiritual but not religious necessarily.
Yes, yes. Even George Carlin said the best music about religion is the music. You know?
Mm.
The best thing about religion is the music. And probably this is probably true. I mean, I just listened again to the Verdi Requiem just recently and the Mozart Requiem.
Well, and in the background, your Shabbat for Today setting of the Friday night Shabbat service as a Moog synthesizer-based rock opera of sorts. Gershon Kingsley, still going strong today. The release date of this 2-CD set, God is a Moog, the Electronic Prayers of Gershon Kingsley. Thanks very much for joining us today.
D'accord.
Let's hear a little bit of the music of Gershon Kingsley. And that's going to do it for this edition of Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatau, and our executive producer, Chris Benn. I'm John Schaefer. Join us for another Soundcheck here on New York Public Radio.